nobody wants to go to a party where it's like everybody you talk to is killing it. That's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Like, and yet what are we, like, so many of us taught to do, we're taught to be like, oh my God, I couldn't handle more success. But finding that humility and finding those places where you can connect to people. But I think it really also comes down to this important question, which is, what is the value I can bring to you?
Yeah.
And then also, how do I show up in a way that helps you think bigger?
You know, they say women shouldn't be bossy.
We're out here reclaiming that word. What's so wrong with being the boss? Bossy.
I'm so excited today because we have a guest here. And we're talking today about communities and having a network. And so we've brought on Gina Bianchini to talk to us about, like, the power of your network. And she's the perfect person to talk to us about this because she runs a software company called Mighty Networks. And it is an online platform that allows you to create your own community. So if you're like a content creator, you're a course creator, you can go to the platform, create these really beautifully designed communities where everybody has their own profile. People can follow each other. There's a feed of everybody's posts. There's events and courses and, like, all sorts of things happening inside of the community. And before doing this, Gina ran a company called Ning, which she started with Mark Andreessen, who's just, like, a big deal in the tech space. If you don't know him, you can look him up. And she's really a great person to talk to us about communities and creating communities. So thank you so much, Gina, for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, it's so lovely to meet you for the first time on my end.
Yeah.
But I think that the other element that we were kind of chatting about, this concept and how we see this all being interconnected, and how when we talk about community, we almost envision three different layers, if you will, that, like, you have advisors or mentors, people that you are looking to for help. You have peers that, like, you're kind of in the trenches together. And then if you're in a content creator space, you might also have a community that's like the audience that you're building, the people that you're, like, collecting and bringing together. And there is some fluidity, I think, between these spaces, and people can kind of, like, move around in the way that you think about them.
Right, right.
But I kind of wanted to start by asking, knowing how you feel about this, I mean, we were just reading your LinkedIn post about this, like, 93% accuracy model for success, and how, influencers or creators that are working with others and collaborating and building these communities, that, like, they are so much more likely to be successful than people that are kind of siloed and operating alone, which I thought was really interesting. But I'm so curious to hear, when you think about in your own business development and your own personal development and these people that you are interfacing with and that are helping you, and, like, a Mark Andreessen type that you've worked with in the past, how are you continuing to build and, like, nurture those relationships with people that you might not actually even be in business with anymore? Like, what is your approach to thinking through those three levels and, like, nurturing it?
Well, so let me first say that 93% prediction model, or 93% accuracy, is about a very specific thing. And it's specifically if you create a community or you have, for example, an online course.
Yeah.
It's, we can predict with 93% accuracy whether or not you're going to be successful in selling that course or creating that membership or building that community, typically in that third bucket of, like, your fans and followers becoming a community. And it comes down to the interactions your members have with each other. So it's not about your content, not about your funnel, not about your affiliates. It is literally about the connections that people are making in that community. So it's not about sort of community overall and any community whatsoever. It's that sort of specific case. But what I think is so cool about your question is it really is about sort of zooming back and thinking about, well, what is a community? And what is, like, why am I here? How am I going to achieve my goals? You know, it's like, well, you know, I wrote a book last year called Purpose, Design a Community and Change Your Life. And it really is about the fact that, number one, you know, we are meant to live amongst other people and be in community with other people to live a very impactful life.
Yeah.
One that brings us fulfillment and joy and the things that allow us to achieve our goals much more easily is as a result of the relationships that we're building with each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I frame what I love about what you're talking about and just even like advisory and mentorship, peers, and then that, again, it almost sounds like they're beneath you. They're not, but like the people that you bring together,
right,
with the content that you create, right? So you have all of these different things, but fundamentally, I think that the most interesting question is not to start with sort of the levels or the hierarchy or how like, oh, this is what each of these kinds of things are, but it's to really take a step back and say, you know, we're here to be in community with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're here to share our stories, our experiences, our ideas. We're here to innovate. We're here to collaborate. We're here to create new things together. And what I think is something that we're losing a little bit, and that I think actually not only sort of an intent to be better at it, but also, you know, certainly in the work that I do at Mighty Networks, it's about how do we help how do we create technology that helps us get there, which is the following, which is, you know, so much of what is about creating content is actually very different and at times antithetical to what makes a great connection.
Wait, say more about that.
So if you think about it, like sometimes if you show up at like a meetup of like a lot of creator people, this isn't a bad thing, but when you're used to being on camera, you're used to essentially talking to your phone. It's very difficult then to basically show up and meet somebody face to face where the first instinct is to be curious about them.
Yeah, that's so true.
So you actually, it's really interesting. You can sort of see this where it's like, oh, well, I have to start by telling you about myself. And in Silicon Valley, where I see it a lot is I'm a new entrepreneur, so I have to tell you where I went to school, where I worked before. Like there's this sense that like the way to actually build relationships is to communicate your resume before you've ever met. And think about it. It's like what's your elevator pitch and like all this stuff. But like, that's not really about making connection.
People literally practice how to do an elevator pitch and they're just like working on it so hard, but that's not going to connect you with, even if it's an investor, that's not going to create a connection. That's just going to like have you have a solid, slick pitch. That's it.
That's right. And Tara, you know, just, I think one of the things that's so beautiful about how you think about your business, but also how you think about relationships in your life is that's not what you do. You've accomplished all these amazing things, but this is about, you know, you really do that well of start with the connection, start with the question. You know, cliches are cliches for a reason. But one of the ones I always think about is the best way to be interesting is to be interested in the other person.
Yeah, this is really interesting that you say this too. I'm kind of like giggling, kind of laughing about this because the reason I wanted to bring you on this episode, I was telling Katie about some of my experiences creating like these kinds of communities that we were talking about, specifically about like mentor kinds of relationships. And I was telling her the story about like my ultimate, this is one of my like top failure stories. I don't think I've ever told you this story, but you were a part of this story. I haven't told you my view of this story. So, man, I don't remember how many, this was a few years ago. I wanted to create an advisory board for my business. And it was like, I botched this scenario so bad. Let me tell you quickly this story. So I made a list of people who are like, I love how they like approach business. I really would love for them to help me. And I made a list of like four or five people. Almost everyone said yes. Right? Almost everyone said yes to me. And I think it was more that like, I think one of my started as a mentor and now really peer and friend, Rand Fishkin, said to me, like, I'm really interested in being on like the Terra advisory board, like even more than like companies that you're working on. I'm most interested in like you and helping you. That's like a framing that maybe you should think about. But I think everybody said yes. So I made a list of people who I thought were really interesting, but maybe like what I thought would never say yes to being on an advisory board.
Almost everybody
said yes. And Gina was on that list. And so I put together this meeting First of all, I've never, like, had, at the time, I'd never been to a board meeting before. I'd never run a board meeting before. I just didn't really know how it worked. And I came in, like, super unprepared. Right, I would have loved to, like, give people, like, apparently you give people information to read beforehand in the board meeting. You, like, brief them for the board meeting.
Pre-read.
So I've got all these people who have, like, lots of board experience who know exactly how board meetings go. And I just kind of, like, fumbled. It felt like to me, like, I fumbled through it. And I was so embarrassed afterwards that I never hosted a follow-up board meeting ever again.
Well, and so I'll tell you my impression of that.
Yes.
It's exactly the opposite. I thought it was super fun. I thought it was great. Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was interesting. And it's funny because I was like, why? Like, I almost felt like it was in the follow-up that I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Because you didn't. You know? And you didn't. And I, because I thought, I was like, oh, these are cool people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. And, like, I love Tara. And Tara is bringing this. I mean, again, you created a community. And listening to other people's perspectives on the questions that you were asking in that meeting.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact I had a different one and came from kind of a different background, that was awesome. These are now all people from that one meeting. They're people I follow on Twitter, I, like, have DM'd with, I've emailed, and I feel connected to.
Yeah.
And so I think, if anything, that you raise two really important and good points. Number one, check your assumptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, you could have actually reached out to every single one of us and been like, what'd you think of the meeting? What could I do better?
Yeah, that's right. That's 100% right.
You know, so I would say that's the failure piece.
Uh-huh.
is being deciding what it was without kind of checking it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And then the second thing is not following up.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Because relationships are made or broken in the follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the people I have a lot of respect for and who is a, you know, I consider a mentor, is a guy named Michael Ovitz. And he founded, CAA back in the 70s. And, you know, the consummate networker and relationship builder. And he just was on a great podcast, and he said, you know, that the challenge isn't the first meeting. The challenge is the fifth one.
Why is having that?
Well, because you have to actually build the relationship after the first meeting. And how you nurture relationships and how you maintain relationships is actually the value of relationships.
And now for a quick word from our presenting sponsors. An office space should inspire you, and you can't do your best work unless your office is outfitted and equipped. That's where Walmart Business comes in. They've got everything you need to set your workplace up for success and help you build your empire. From office essentials like pens and staplers to the real non-negotiables like lighting that won't hurt your eyes and all the non-dairy milk choices your team requires for their morning coffee. And when your schedule's too full to squeeze in errands, don't worry. With Walmart Business, you can choose between shipping, pickup, or delivery from store as fast as the exact same day. It feels good to have options. Get all the things you need at the low prices you love when you visit business.walmart.com. That's business.walmart.com. Okay, back to the show.
So let's maybe go backwards then, because I want to sort of replay the scenario, and I wanted to, like, vulnerably share one of my, like, business goof-ups with folks who are listening to this.
Which I didn't, and I didn't ever
perceive
see it as
perceive it that
up.
Way. You're like, you just didn't follow up.
But really, it became a goof-up because you thought it was a goof-up, so you started treating it as though it were.
I was so immersed.
But it wasn't.
Like, I was so immersed in that I, like, let it be a goof-up. And so I'm curious, Gina, like, if people want to, because I do think it's just a great idea to have people kind of come together, because I thought really hard about who I wanted to come together and who would be interested in each other, right? Like, I was thinking about network.
At least from where I was sitting, totally nailed it on that.
Yeah.
That was great.
And I want to ask a question then, because you're kind of alluding to the fact that, like, which we've dispelled a little bit, that, well, I didn't really know how board meetings were supposed to work. And, like, this was my first one. So, like, I was just winging it. And, like, I thought everyone left being like, what the hell was that? But what is the typical board meeting look like? What was the correct way that, like, how is it normally done, Gina? And what is your experience with this?
Yeah, Katie, that's a great question. I didn't mean to interrupt you. So first of all, it's not a board of directors meeting. This, right. Like, we had no fiduciary responsibility.
That's a good distinction.
For you know, your business. We were there to support you. We were there because, you know, these are interesting questions that we all spend a lot of time by ourselves and with other people thinking about.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that much time. And it's like, oh, this will be fun. I'll learn something new.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is so if you are holding yourself to the standard of a board of directors meeting, that's also another thing that, like, you just don't have to do.
So let's make that distinction.
What's the difference, Gina, if people don't know? Because, like, I sat on Moz's board, so I, after this experience, learned what a board meeting looks like, right? So I got that context. But if people don't know, what's the difference between, like, a board of directors and a board of just, like, an advisory board?
Yeah, so a board of directors has a legal role in the operations of the company. So they are responsible for hiring and firing the CEO. And then the CEO is responsible for everything else in a company, right? Yeah. So a advisory board can be anything you want it to be.
Yeah, okay.
And the goal of an advisory board is to be able, you know, the most productive ones are ones where you can take, and I think you actually did this really well, like take a challenge and bring it to a group of people that come at it from different perspectives and, you know, have sort of a baseline of confidentiality and trust and have an open conversation where everybody is learning from each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I brought together people who had different perspectives. Like, yeah. I knew that Gina was going to, like, push me to think bigger about some things. And I know you're a great big thinker. Joel Gascion, who's the CEO of Buffer, also joined it. He's just, like, he actually is the quietest in meetings, but he, like, will email back with these, like, long, like, really insightful pieces of feedback, and really about, like, he had raised money for his company and sort of really shifted the structure of that so that he had more ownership later. And so as I was thinking about ownership of my business, like, I really wanted his perspective. And Ryan Dice, who is the CEO of Digital Marketer and has a couple other businesses now that he's started, has, like, really done a great job with marketing. Right, and growth. And so I was like, what are the areas where I need help with? I also had my dad join, who's, like, a really great checker.
I love that.
Yeah, my dad and I have a really great business relationship. My dad and I are business buddies. He's retired now, but he's a chief operating officer of companies. And so, like, he's good at being like, that's a great plan, but it doesn't sound aligned to you. And so, like, this group of people, really, I was thinking about who can help me in different ways. And I think it's really interesting, though, Gina, like, I love your feedback about what I could have done differently, but I wanted to share that story with folks if they want to create not necessarily a financial board for their business, right? Mm-hmm. A formal board for their business, but just people to help you.
Yeah.
So, right. Gina,
and I would add one other just piece to this, because I think there's actually a bigger point.
Yeah.
Which is, for example, if somebody makes an introduction to somebody for you,
yeah,
and you meet the person, go back to the person that introduced you and let them know that it was great.
Yeah.
It's a touch point. It's a place to basically be like, I see the work that you put in to this, you know, this introduction, and I appreciate it. Because remember, most people, and this is kind of, again, where I felt like, you know, after that meeting, which was awesome, and I wish we did it again, you know, is if you let people know they helped you, it deepens the relationship.
Yeah. That's a really interesting.
And this goes to the creator piece again, which is, you know, or entrepreneur, where it's like you go to a party, like nobody wants to go to a party where it's like everybody you talk to is killing it. That's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Like, and yet what are we, like, so many of us taught to do? We're taught to be like, oh my God, I couldn't handle more success. I couldn't be like more awesome all the time. It's it shuts down the conversation. Now, again, it doesn't mean that you have to be like, oh, let me share my problems with you at a party. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But finding that humility and finding those places where you can connect to people, you know, it's not about the transaction of either I have to be, you know, like I have to be like the perfect, like absolutely I know everything, you know, kind of business person, or that you are asking somebody to share something, you know, like those are transactional and they're not actually deepening connections or relationships. And so, you know, even where we started, I love the idea of having different layers and thinking about different layers for, you know, your network and your relationship. But I think it really also comes down to this important question, which is, what is the value I can bring to you?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want or need to meet from me? How can I help?
Yeah.
And then also, how do I show up in a way that helps you think bigger?
Yeah.
Or feel seen, or just are acknowledged? And I think that that's just a really different way of thinking about the world from one where it's about your elevator pitch and the transaction of like share this thing and I'll share your thing, and we'll
it's a two-way relationship is what I'm hearing you say.
And I almost want to clarify that I think the way that I first kind of denoted like boop boop boop, I think what it actually is this way
horizontal.
It's not layered hierarchy. It's that you are moving fluidly between these equal things.
I love that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. You have mentors.
That feels much better to me. There's going to be some things that we're building at Mighty over the next, you know, 6 to 12 months that are designed to kind of make some of this stuff really easy.
Yeah.
But I believe that there is a model for communities that is about helping people get unstuck.
Mm-kay.
And when you start to think about, you know, just take this, the genre of makeover shows, you know, and what is a makeover show fundamentally? Yes, it's fun to watch the before and after. And you know, again, it's all happens over like a week, right?
Yeah.
In most of the makeover shows.
Yeah.
But what they actually really do, like if you really think about what a makeover show does, especially the really good ones, like I love Queer Eye, for example. I
think it's so good.
Like so amazing. They are helping someone get unstuck in a very concentrated way by hitting like all the different pieces. So what, you know, especially because we have just so many incredible, we call them hosts on Mighty, but so many incredible people who have expertise in these different areas. Like my, you know, goal would be to create a community that is like they're based in geographies. Somebody can raise their hand and say, I'm going to do this in my town. And it's about helping some kind of formula. It probably looks a lot like helping people the way, you know, the Fab Five help people on Queer Eye.
Yeah.
But just this idea of being able to take somebody who's really, you know, wonderful and has a great heart and it wants something more or different for their lives, and to be able to in a week long, just hitting all of the key parts with the right support, the right kind of experts, just getting people unstuck.
Yeah.
And I think if that can become a movement where more and more people are able to help those around them become unstuck. And so again, we move from this model of a world where it's like everybody has to have the answers, or like the only way you can sell a digital subscription or have a business is if you launch a course, and the course, you got to know all the things in the course to be able to like sell the course. It's like there's a place for that.
Yeah.
But what's more powerful is how do you create a community that is that is helping other people get unstuck by having this incredible model for how to do it and how to do it at a local level.
We'll be right back to the conversation after a quick break. Okay, back to the show.
I would love to be like, as you're saying this, I just started thinking of like types of niche communities like that about helping each other that I would love to be a part of. Like, for example, I would love to be a part of a community of women who are in like a certain age bracket of like 30s, because I feel like a lot changes and shifts in your life at that point. And like, that's an area I'm like navigating in my own life that like, I would love that. That would be amazing. Like, as in terms of like a, what would I want to be part of? That's my like fantasy community that I would love to jump into, for example, where like priorities shift and like kind of you go from like trying to like, what do they say? Like your 20s are for learning in your 30s or for something like that.
I have no idea.
You haven't heard that?
I have no idea, but I was
the point being like you do different things in different decades, and so like understanding how that happens and then really getting good insights like what happens in 40s would be really useful to sort of have as a perspective. So I know, so like that's an interesting one that like I thought of that based on what you just said.
There's also there's something that's coming through for me about how holistic that approach is, because I think that we often, if you've ever heard like Esther Perel talk about how like we expect our spouse to be like our confidant and to keep things novel, but also be familiar, this tendency that we have as humans to seek everything from one person. And I think that there's a very interesting lesson to be gleaned here about kind of collecting this array of people in your community and like being a part of that in a way where it's like, my role is to help people with this. And like, I am able to contribute in this way, but also seek value from all of these different people in that way. And I think what it brings me back to is what you said at the very beginning about your predictive model and the fact that like that it's not the relationship that the person has with the content creator. It's the relationships that they have with one another. And are they building strong bonds within the community that you're building? Right. Are they having a bond with you?
Exactly. You go from being a content creator to being a host and a facilitator.
A connector.
And here's the thing. It's easier, therefore more profitable, it's a better business.
People stay longer because they're connected to each other.
And it's better for them too.
And you know what else happens is that they stay longer, they get better results. What happens when people get results? They talk about it.
Yeah,
they talk about it to new people. So you actually
movement
don't need affiliates and funnels in the way that you would need them if you don't have those connections, if you only had content. And then what else happens is as people are getting more and more value in those relationships, and that sort of long-term relationship gets people unstuck or gets them that next job, or it gets them that partner, or it gets them the life that they want, they pay more money for it. People pay attention to what they pay for. And so longer retention. So anybody who runs a subscription business knows longer retention, more inexpensive to even free acquisition, and higher prices equals community makes you more money.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that like there's been so much sort of like transactional, artificial, like almost bordering on pyramid schemes where it's like, oh, well, you join my community or like create a community and get paid and all this stuff. And it's like, no. You can actually create a really meaningful, amazing community and make money doing something that you can be proud of.
Yeah. And that extends not just like if you're a content creator in community, but also just
peer,
mentor, just community in general.
I think that's
everything
huge just entrepreneurially.
Said.
Like to have those types of, to formalize that a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I think some of the things you said we can kind of take away and use for different relationships in community in our life in general. Gina, any last things you want to share of pieces of advice for someone, an entrepreneur who's thinking about having community be part of their business on any of these sort of planes, right, of advisory, peers, or a community like you have on Mighty Networks?
I think the big one is be interested in other people.
Yeah. Novel concept. Like, be interested.
To be interesting.
Yeah.
And think about how are you maintaining the relationships that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gina, we want to
not just striking them. Yeah.
I would say we want to respect your time because we know that you have a hard stop for your busy day.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today and to share your wisdom.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye, Gina.
Okay, Katie. So before we go, I want to play a little game with you.
Okay.
You know how we play like fantasy football?
Yes.
Okay. I've never played fantasy football myself.
But, me neither.
We're both flying.
You know
over
how
here.
Other people do fantasy football?
All cap. Okay, so I'm pretty sure you pick people that you would want to be on your team. This is the yes. name of the game here. So this is like fantasy network. So if we Ooh. Think about the different okay. areas of a network, you've got mentors, you've got peers, and then you've got like an audience of customers as an entrepreneur, or they could be like the audience that follows you if you're a content creator, right?
Yep.
So the game is to say one person who would be like fantasy mentor for you, one person who would be like fantasy peer for you, and one kind of like group of people who would be like fantasy either customers or community.
Okay. Okay. That's super easy. So for fantasy customer community, I actually feel like I have that already, which is an amazing feeling that I feel so connected to the people that, like, you know, we call them Rich Girl Nation.
Yeah.
But like last night I was posting a video about something, and we were talking about like women that like don't get enough credit, and in the comments someone was like, Simone Biles is Rich Girl Nation. Like, there's just this sense yeah. of like what it means, which I just love. As far as the peer and mentor piece, I think my answer for that one is kind of similar, because I love the idea of being able to be mentored by somebody in some capacities, but then also be a mentor in some ways for someone in other capacities. So like, I kind of think about those things right now on the same playing field, if you will. But I have two that are really top of mind. And okay. one of them is top of mind because I'm actually meeting her for coffee tomorrow.
Oh.
Yes, which okay. I'm really excited about. So her name's Chelsea Fagan. I've talked about her on the show before. She founded The Financial Diet. And I'm really excited to meet with her because she has such a different approach to business than the one that is like very standard, aka like not super growth focused, very like, you know, I want to be very ethical in the profit sharing. And it's just a really beautiful business model. And so I'm so excited to get to like talk to her and kind of tell her about what we're doing and get her input. So it's like,
so is she fantasy peer, fantasy mentor?
She's
for you?
Both, but I'm like, it's like becoming less fantasy now, which is something that like a year ago would have been unfathomable to me.
Some of my best mentors just turn into peers and friends after a while. It's like an interesting kind of
yeah,
dynamic.
Exactly.
Of like, if you're a high achiever, you kind of like meet mentors, and then you kind of like the relationship morphs
mm-hmm.
right to something different. So
but I do
that.
Have one other.
Okay,
and it's Alex Cooper,
ah,
who.
Yeah.
Started she started with Barstool doing Call Her Daddy, and then she had this like crazy IP. She like sold the intellectual property, got it back from Barstool, sold it to Spotify for $60 million, and now it's just that she's a podcast network. And like, I would love to have a relationship with her just to be like, I want to know what it is like to be you, which sounds like a really strange thing to say, but it's like,
no,
she has kind of, her and Rogan have kind of done this crazy, never done before thing, which is turning a podcast, an audio product, a show, into something worth tens of millions of dollars that's based on just their personality.
Yeah.
And what interests them.
And they're also dealing with like issues of like fame in a totally different way than mm-hmm. maybe like you and I ever experienced. And that's a whole nother set of like different problems, different life that like you would love to like learn from.
Yeah. It's like I almost have like a I want to be fly on the wall type energy around her. So I think that one skews more mentor, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think it would be so interesting to be able to be like, this is something I'm going through. Have you ever dealt with this? Because despite their scale and like how popular it is and how they have this new podcast network, like she's making some decisions that as a podcaster myself, I'm like, those don't totally make sense to me on the surface. Like, I would love to know how you think about this. Like,
yeah.
She still edits the show herself.
I actually think that's the biggest value
right?
of having a mentor. Like, people think that a mentor is good for giving you, like, here's the tactic. And I actually think mentors are best for giving you, like, here's how I think about things.
Bingo.
Here's how my brain works, because I'm at a maybe different level of problem solving and tackling things. That's the biggest value.
Yeah. So they're just things from the outside looking in that I'm like, I don't totally get that. And I want to get it because it's your approach is so fascinating. So what about you?
Okay, so I think my dream mentor, fantasy mentor. Okay, I think it's like a Jada Pinkett Smith, actually.
Ooh. Ooh, that's so fun.
I think Jada Pinkett Smith is amazing. Like, I would love to do one day, like, a millennial Red Table Talk kind of vibe of a show about, like, personal growth and, like, expanding yourself. And I think that she's kind of, like, trailblazed here and gotten a lot of backlash for being, like, super open. And people feel like she's too open and, like, sharing too much of her business and also sharing things that maybe, like, the world's not really ready to hear about, like, relationship structures and just, like, all kinds of things that people are, like, kind of, like,
like the entanglements or like you know what her and Will have going on.
Yeah, but I kind of like hear what her life through maybe like a different lens than maybe other people do. I like think that she really kind of blazes trails of being open and kind of like doing personal work in public. So I would love to have her as a mentor. I think as a peer, Erykah Badu.
Knew it.
I think we'd be buds.
Knew
wanna
it.
Want to hang.
So funny. I saw a TikTok the other day that was like every women's show. And it was like, I think they were riffing on Red Table Talk, but it was like all these women sitting around a table and one of them would make a salient point. They'd all go, And I was like, wow, now I'm so conscious of that. Every time someone just like drops a little truth bomb and I go,
I feel like it's like, a stop. It's a good show of like respect that you felt it. You know what it is? It tells someone that you're feeling it.
Yeah.
And that is important maybe to women, that currency of like, I just want you to know I feel you. Real quick. Yeah. I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to let you know I feel you.
Oh, yeah. It's just so funny. That's hilarious. Just like, damn, I feel so called out right now.
Yeah.
But okay. I love it. Well, that's our little, we're putting it out into the universe. So
Fantasy Networks. And I would love for folks to play this with us. So if you come over to YouTube, you can comment in the comments and we can see them. So tell us, you can pick one or you can do all three, who a fantasy mentor would be of yours, a fantasy peer would be of yours, and also like a customer or community group of people who you would love to have as customers or community.
Yes, I'm dying to see. I feel like I'm going to get some ideas from these comments.
Yeah.
So don't be shy.
People will have really interesting ones. And if you want, you can tell us why, because like we may not know like why you think that person is interesting. So you can put a little context, a little flavor on it too.
Love it. Okay. I think that's a great place to call it. Thanks again to Gina for joining us. And that is all for this week's episode of Bossy. But we will see you right here next week.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.